Romans chapter 14. The book of Romans chapter 14. It tells us in Romans 14, and if you notice verse 13, it says, "Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." We mentioned last week regarding the principle of being a stumbling block. Now, we have literally gotten into these principles that are in God's Word that help us to know what's right. Now, obviously, that assumes you want to do what's right. Now, if you don't do what you know is right, you're going to have a tendency to be disappointed, because God does not want us to have a pick-and-choose mentality regarding His will. But if you want to do what's right, there are principles in God's Word that can help us in any situation in life, whether it be the COVID situation, the vaccine situation, or whether it be our standards of living, whatever they may be. We can glean from these principles. We saw there's the principle of faith, and we asked the question, do I doubt this? And we saw that from chapter 14, and since we're in that chapter, verse 23, "He that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is what? Sin." So we are getting into the area of our conscience, and it's important that we do everything we can, like Paul, to be of a pure conscience before God and man. Because when you start violating your conscience, you will start to fudge on a lot of things in your life. And honestly, many people do not grow because they're constantly compromising their conscience. You know, I read where one famous porn owner many years ago, and I heard where he had said that pornography doesn't bother me. It's not against my conscience. Well, because he was so hardened in his conscience that he didn't have any guilt at all. So we can harden our conscience. So make sure that when you say nothing is wrong in my conscience, that you are basing that on the Word of God. Because you can find yourself in a very bad situation. We looked at the principle of personal harm. Will this hurt me? And will it hurt me physically? Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Would it hurt me mentally? The Scripture tells us that that whatsoever things are true, honest, just, and so forth, think on these things, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So we have to be careful about making sure we're not hurt physically, we're not hurt mentally, and we're not hurt spiritually. And we will look at that a little bit more tonight. The principle of addiction. Paul says, "All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." So we have to always ask ourselves, am I addicted to this? And if I am to the point where I have to have it, then that's a problem, because we should be making sure we're in total submission to God. And if something's addicting to the point where we're doing that which goes against God, that's a real problem. And this is why God tells us we need to stay away from things that are addictive. And we could talk about drugs and alcohol and all kinds of things. Tobacco. We could talk about many areas. And my point in this study is not to so much try to address every one of these issues, as tempting as that is, because I'd love to just delve into why I think it's wrong to do such and such. But at the same time, we have to be very careful that we do not violate the principle of addiction. And then we have gotten this last evening and this evening, the principle of being a stumbling block. The principle of being a stumbling block. Now, this is something that God has spent a lot of time in His Word talking about. This isn't some unique little principle to get people to do what everybody wants them to do. No, we have to understand there is a principle of a stumbling block. We saw last week that there's two contrasting truths, and we have to be aware of that. The first contrasting truth is that we should not worry about what others think. And if we're doing the right thing, the Scripture tells us that according to Galatians 1 verse 10, also in chapters 1 verse 3 through 6, verse 9 and so forth, that, you know, if we're doing the right thing, it really doesn't matter that people like it or not like it. I'm sure there's a lot of people that didn't like what Jesus did. We know that. Remember, the Pharisees were always hounding Him. You know, you're doing this and you're doing that. And He said, yeah, but I'm doing My Father's will. On the other hand, the Scripture does tell us to be concerned about what others think. And we saw in 1 Peter 2, verses 11 and 12, that there's coming a time in our conduct that if we're not careful, our testimony can affect the salvation of somebody. Now think about that. I would hate to think somebody went to hell because they watched my life and saw me do something that was a hypocrisy to them. And of course, we always want to make sure, right, that it's truly hypocrisy and not just somebody putting a spin on trying to control you. But we do have to be very, very careful that we are concerned about what others think. And that's kind of where we're going to launch into this evening. Romans chapter 14, verse 13. I just want you to see this verse for a minute, because this introduces something that we need to be aware of. It tells us in verse 13, let no man put a stumbling block, it says, in his brother's way. Now that word stumbling block, and I just want to take a minute, because we have to understand what these words mean. Now the word stumbling block is a word which means to strike against, or a stone, or an obstacle in a path, or a stumbling. So for instance, if I'm walking around the corner, have you ever been walking somewhere in the dark and there was something in your way and you tripped over it? Well, that's embarrassing. What's really embarrassing is to slip on some water or something. I remember one time going into the shopping center when I was just a teenager, and I remember I fell, or I almost fell, and it was so embarrassing, and everybody's looking at me, and I just got up and kept walking. But you know, sometimes, I remember one time I was walking home from school one day, and this is when I was a young person, and there, you ever see one of these signs that are, you know, they kind of go like this, and they're up, and they're, well, this sign was in the middle of the sidewalk. So I'm just walking around, boom, I hit this thing. Caused me to stumble, and it was a hindrance to me, and you know, we can trip over rocks, we can trip over maybe some shoe in the middle of the night, or stub our toe on something, and so I could give you some stories there, but we don't have time. So it's interesting though. It's interesting that's the idea of the word a stumbling block. And the interesting thing about that, you'll see in Romans chapter 9, verse 32, it talks about stumbled at that stumbling block. Or in Romans 9, 33, that I lay in Zion a stumbling stone. So in other words, people tripped over Christ, and they could not grasp the fact that He was dying for their sins. And that tripped them up. We're told in Romans chapter 14, verse 20, that it's translated in offense, and we could go on and on and on. So we find, though, that there is a sense. God says, don't let whatever you do be a stumbling block to somebody. It can literally trip them up. And be careful about allowing things in your life that could cause another Christian to stumble. You say, how can that be? Well, because just like you have a conscience, they have a conscience. And in their conscience, it would be wrong for them to do certain things. Now, let me ask you a question. What comes to your mind, and I don't want this, you speak out loud because we can get off track here, but what comes to your mind that can be a bad testimony to another Christian? You see nothing wrong with it, but they see a lot wrong with it. When I was a young person, I remember I was working at KO Gas Station. And here I was, a young Christian. And I was being told that you had to sell cigarettes. I said, well, I said, I'm not sure about that. Kind of bothered me because I remember I just got saved. And I witnessed to my parents, I mean, you shouldn't be smoking cigarettes. Why? Because your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Well, I got to thinking, okay, I don't believe it's right to smoke cigarettes, but why am I selling them to people? Now, I talked to some Christians, and they'd say, I don't have a problem with that. I'm not smoking them. Well, I came across this principle. And it made me come to the conclusion personally that I would not do that. So imagine how that went over. I go to my boss the next day, or whatever day it was, and I said, you know, his name was Perry. Perry, I can't work here anymore. He said, why? I said, because I don't believe it'd be right for me to sell cigarettes, because I was working at this gas station and they come in, and at that time you pump the gas. You know, back those days in ancient history, you know, that's what we did. You know, you pump the gas, and it could be freezing out there. And you go give them gas, and you say, okay, that's $15.20. Would you go give me a pack of Winstons? So I'd go and get them Winston, and I was under conviction about this. So I talked to Perry, and he said, okay, don't quit your job, just don't sell cigarettes. Make them go up to the window. Now, that went over like a lead balloon. They're out there, they're, you know, it's cold, and I said, it's $15 for gas. And would you give me a pack of Winstons? I said, I'm sorry, sir, I can't sell those to you. What? And I said, you know, that I just don't think I should do that. But if you need cigarettes, they're up there, you can go get them yourself, you know. You know, I kept two or three jobs like that. Why? Because I came to the conclusion I shouldn't do it. Because why? My thinking was this. I was involved in a bus ministry in our church. And I thought, well, what would I do? You know, here I am saying it's wrong to smoke cigarettes. And little Johnny comes in with his parents that ride my bus and say, you know, get me some cigarettes. And I'm up there getting it. So I thought to myself, I don't want to be a stumbling block to those people, those children. Now, I don't know if I ever had a parent come in, but that was my reasoning. Now, we could talk about a lot of different issues, couldn't we? But there are things that bothered me to do that, and for me to have done that, whether you think it's ridiculous or not, would have been sin against God, because I would have been going against my conscience. And I did not want to be a stumbling block to those children on the bus ministry. Or if somebody was visiting our church. There's a second word. And it's the word, if you'll notice though, and it's interesting because it's translated offense in different portions of the scripture. But in verse 13, it's the noun form, which is an occasion to fall. An occasion to fall. And if you look at verse 21, it is good neither to eat flesh nor drink wine or anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is, what? Offended. It's the same, well, that's the verb form of that word, offend. You know what the word is in English? What's that? Well, I'm sorry, in the original language, which sounds like something. It's the word, let me give you the Greek word and tell me what you think that sounds like. Scandalizo. It's where we get the word scandal. You don't want to scandalize somebody. And which means, according to how it's translated there in verse 13, you don't want to be an occasion where they'll fall. If thy right hand offend thee, remember Jesus said that? Or if thine eye offend thee, that's the word. It can be a scandal. The Pharisees who were hypocrites were offended in Christ, but Christ was doing the right thing. But we don't want to cause somebody to turn away from God because of an action that we are involved in. Now, obviously, we're going through this rather quickly, but I want you to see a couple things here, because when we go to this passage of Scripture, we're going to see that there are examples the New Testament gives us, all right? And we can learn from those New Testament examples how we can apply that thing that you thought about in your mind. Okay, something that you don't have a problem with, but some people who call themselves godly Christians have a problem with it. So, there were a couple of examples. In Romans 14, you'll see, for instance, that in verse 2, for one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Now, probably what's going on here is you're dealing with Gentiles and Jews. And so there were those who literally, probably Jews, who thought, well, you know, I don't want to eat any unclean thing. Remember Peter, Acts chapter 10, where he was up on the housetop and all these different unclean foods were presented to him. So that was the Jewish mindset. And the Gentiles understood something. They understood, you know, this is Old Testament law. But to the Jews, it was very offensive. Some of them to the point where they became vegetarians. So here you have two groups in the church. One who says, there's nothing wrong with that, eating a pork chop or whatever it might be. And another group saying, I think that would be going against God's law. Now, the fact is, there was this division. And what we would call a diaphria, which is a issue that is not necessarily right and wrong in and of itself. And some things are not necessarily intrinsically wrong, but the association and things that are involved in that are wrong. So there was that illustration. Second illustration had to do with, if you notice there in verse 5, one esteemeth one day among above another, and another esteemeth every day alike. So you had these Old Testament days, remember those? You had certain feasts and you had certain days you had to keep and so forth. And some were saying, you know, you don't have to keep those days. And other people were saying, yeah, I don't think I'd feel right. You know, you grew up all your life saying you can't do this on this day. And it bothered them. Another example, and we won't turn to it, probably not tonight. We may turn to it next week. I may have a part 3 to this. The third thing has to do with eating meats offered to idols. And that's in 1 Corinthians. Anybody know what chapter? Can you see my numbers? Yeah. Chapter 8 of 1 Corinthians. So, we could talk about selling cigarettes at a gas station or a grocery store or selling beer or, you know, we could talk about a lot of issues. And I don't always know what your personal convictions are and things. But it is an interesting thing that there are these examples. Now, the principles that we're going to see in Romans chapter 14, and let's just stay with this chapter and we'll be done tonight with that. The first principle is this. I mean, not the principle. The principle is the principle of stumbling blocks, but there is a principle involved here. There is a truth involved here. Let me put it that way. Verse 7, none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. In other words, no man is an island. Now, in a perfect world where nobody else was around, it may not be a problem for you to do something, especially if you didn't feel it was wrong to eat certain meats, or if you didn't feel it was wrong to worship the Lord on certain days, or you didn't see anything wrong about eating meats that had been offered to idols. If you were an island to yourself, okay, no big deal. But the problem is, we have people around us. Was it Billy Sunday that said that my freedom ends where your nose begins? So I can swing around and enjoy myself, but if somebody's within reach, I could literally punch them in the nose. So the principle here is no man's an island. And this is what Paul is trying to get at. The second thing he points out in verse 12 of Romans 14 is that we're going to have to give an answer to God. And and we have to be careful. And what he is dealing with here in chapter 14, whether on what side of the position you're on, you know, keep in mind that everybody's going to have to answer to God. And the choices you make, you are going to answer to God. Verse 12, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And we have to keep that in mind. The third thing we see is in verse 21, we saw in verse 13, verse 15, 16, don't hurt others by your practice. Now, in 15, if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him within thy meat. Let not your good be evil spoken of. So there's where we get the idea of hurting ourselves spiritually. Now you say, how? Now, let me keep something in mind here, and I forgot to mention it. When it says, don't be an offense, it doesn't say don't offend anybody, because everybody gets offended about a bunch of stuff. The word means to cause to fall. So let's say, for instance, somebody is there and he said, I don't see anything wrong with eating certain meats. And this person says, well, I think it's not good. Oh, go ahead, have some. It's great. You like hamburgers? Have this. They're vegetarian. And they say, I don't know, I don't feel right about this. Well, okay. What have they just done? They've gone against what? Their conscience. So I have hurt them by my liberty. Right? So I got to be very, very careful about that. I don't want to cause them or lead them to sin. And that's what he is telling us here. I'm going to draw a line right here. We're going to stop. Because I'm determined to not throw everybody's schedule off. Let's pick up there. Because there is a sense in which there is this principle of being a stumbling block. Lord, we ask that you would guide and direct us. And I pray that you would strengthen us and help us to be very, very careful that we do not in any way, by our choices, hurt somebody else. And we know that everybody's going to agree with us, but we do not want to cause someone else to do wrong. And I pray that you would give us wisdom, give us understanding, help us to do right. Because, Lord, after all, we want to do your will. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming this evening.